This is Marky Mark Markellis from Soul Wizard Podcast, and you are listening to the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
All right. Are we ready?
Okay.
All right.
Old Man River.
Hey, I'm doing 3 miles a day. My legs hurt, okay?
I give you credit for that. I was just singing show tunes.
Yeah, sure. I just happened to.
This should be our pre-roll.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people,
right?
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one. Quarter pounder
with cheese in France, Mickey. What? Boy, ale with cheese, Mickey. Yeah. I could totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly saw sacrifice at my progeny to you, a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host, Dave.
I'm stuffed. Oh, and also John.
I sing show tunes now.
You watch show tunes. Try doing Cats on Stage both in high school and college.
It's not legal in this state.
Well, I knew I should have moved out of Connecticut.
It's not legal?
To do Cats on Stage?
Yeah.
I made a joke. It wasn't a very good joke.
But okay.
I got it. Jeez.
It went right over my head.
That's what all the pockmarks are in the wall behind you, Dave. Those are the jokes that keep going over your head.
Okay, all right, I get it now.
That trailer looks weird.
Oh, God.
It's not very on brand for this show, but that cat's...
Yeah, that's not just weird. That's disturbing.
Have you seen all the rumors now that they're saying they should go back and redo it like they redid Sonic?
They're not going to do that, are they?
Furries and Neko admirers everywhere from anime are just, even they cannot handle that show. That's
what the F is a furries and a what did you say?
Neko.
What the hell is a Neko?
Neko girls are a big thing in Japanese anime.
Go for it. I need words.
Yeah, the girls with the cat ears and the tail.
Oh, that's what those are called?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's in Japanese, so... it's a big thing, and so, you know, it's just the fur on the face and I'm sorry, they just don't look right.
They look not right is the best term for it. They look like scary.
We're not talking like Uncanny Valley with was it Midnight Express or the Polar Express?
Midnight Express is a much different film.
Yes. I realized it as soon as I said it. But, you know, we're not talking like Uncanny Valley, but there's just something off about it.
I agree. I'm not a show, contrary to me saying I shouldn't sing show tunes now, I'm not much of a theater guy, so I'm not going to see it anyway, but this trailer is doing nothing to make me want to see it.
No, and I've seen I've seen Cats on Broadway maybe like 4 times. I've been in productions singing and, you know, in the aisles and, you know, with the makeup and everything. And I still have no, you know, I mean, I don't want to see it at all. I just.
Speaking of show tunes, shout out to my man, regular Scott from Take a Knee. He got to see Hamilton this weekend. Thought it was really good.
Oh, bastard. I still want to see that.
I've heard nothing but good
things. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is show tune speak, right?
Yes.
Broadway speak.
Broadway speak. This is super Broadway speak. Oh, my God. So, it's been a while, guys, since we all got together.
Clearly, we're all talking show tunes now.
I think we forgot what the show's about. How was everyone's Thanksgiving? How about you, JD? How was your Thanksgiving?
It's not bad. Wrestling season's underway, so It's good. Can't complain.
Yeah.
Ate a lot of turkey. My mother-in-law made these gluten-free, because I got celiac disease, she made these gluten-free, like, buns that tasted really good, but I had three of them to, like, be super polite, and I couldn't move. I couldn't play with my son afterwards because they were sitting in my stomach like a giant boulder.
Oh, but they tasted. Doesn't sound pleasant.
Oh, it wasn't. I was miserable.
Could be worse.
How was yours?
Well, you know, other than my daughter being a vegan.
Vegan or vegetarian?
No, vegan.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. Ovo-lacto?
Ovo-lacto?
Bless you.
Is that like, some Latin like, I don't know?
Does she not eat eggs or milk? Like anything that comes from an animal? Or
Total pain in the butt vegan, yes.
I was about to start doing the power of Christ compels you.
Tante
Domino. Yeah.
So due to my mother-in-law's, you know, medical issues that we've talked about on the show before, my daughter, who recently bought her house, agreed to have it at her house this year. So,
so you only have yourself.
She said she was willing to. No. Here's the thing. She said she was willing to do most everything except touch a turkey. So I went over early, and her and I did all the cooking this year. So
you're a good dad.
Fun. Oh yeah. Oh, it was good. We followed my mother-in-law's recipes for everything, and she was there telling us we were doing everything wrong. But
that's what they're for. That's, you know.
What did she have as a main event if she didn't have turkey? What did your daughter have for the main event if she didn't have turkey? Like, what was the centerpiece of the vegan Thanksgiving?
Tofurkey? She got this TRKY. Now, here's the funny thing, right? Like, they had ones that were pre-stuffed, but her husband doesn't like stuffing. So he wouldn't let her buy, like, the fake turkey breast that was stuffed. So she ended up with these turkey cutlets that she cooked in the air fryer that were, you know, obviously were fake turkey. But, and then she made a corn stuffing for her and her and my granddaughters. But, yeah, she said next year she doesn't care about him. She's going to get it with the stuffing in it.
Is he vegan, too? Are they both vegan?
No, he's vegetarian. He still eats dairy. And he just recently started going vegetarian because my daughter complained about buying meat just for him. So he was like, okay, fine. Which makes me also believe he probably sneaks it when he's at work, but not around her, you know?
Hey, no laws.
Exactly.
I'm having flashbacks of my last marriage.
How about you, John? Did you have a vegan Thanksgiving?
No, but I have several family members that have celiac, so some gluten-free stuff, but otherwise, completely normal Thanksgiving. I spent it with three nephews hanging off my arms. And got to play some D&D with them, teaching them how to play. And one of them finally started using tactics, and I was so proud of him. He's instead of just running in as a, you know, with it, he was a sorcerer, and he usually just like just uses up all his spell points. Instead of that, he started using tactics, and you know, I'll throw the light over here and distract him while I give the fighter a chance to go after a grell, and it was beautiful. So
wow. Yeah,
that was it. My nephews are now fourth level, a fourth level sorcerer and a fighter.
But first level nerds, it's awesome.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like my sister and my brother-in-law. They're not quite there, so they need the prime nerd in the family to step up and make sure that the kids are brought up right. So, I'm trying to introduce them to everything, geek, and D&D was one of them. That was their Christmas gift last year, was complete sets of the fifth edition rules.
Did you just say you're nerd prime?
Well, I'm the prime geek of our family.
I cannot dispute that. I'm
the alpha geek at work, so I think the prime nerd is taken though by the XKCD guy. So
I don't know. All right, well, maybe prime geek.
Mm. So yeah.
All right.
Oh, and I finally got to see the mandolin. I mean, everybody's been talking about it and everything. So, you know, I finally found a copy of it, and I don't understand why everybody's talking about it, because, I mean, it's like, it's all, it's in Russian, and it's like, I don't know. It was kind of a sad movie. I don't understand.
Oh my God. No.
What do you mean no?
Mandalorian.
No, The Mandolin. Directed by Ilya Kolchev, 1973. Mandolinata.
Oh my God.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is this the bad joke hour?
We could rebrand.
Did I get it wrong again?
Dad jokes are us. Is that where we're going?
Did I get it wrong again?
Yes. Have you seen it yet? Seriously.
Seriously, my sister has Disney Plus. Yeah, I saw it. And Baby Yoda is cute.
Did you see the last episode? That's the best one, I think, so far.
Yeah, it was. It's turning out really, really good.
I told you so.
I'm wondering what's going to happen though, because I mean, obviously there's some kind of subplot going on that hasn't totally been revealed yet about what's going to happen with the baby Yoda. But otherwise, it's just, you know, one man and a baby traveling the universe fighting off bounty hunters.
It's Lone Wolf and Cub, man. And this last one was Seven Samurai.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, I think it's definitely more than kind of. They literally protected villagers from raiders. That was the plot of Seven Samurai.
Okay. Well, same thing.
But there was two samurai.
What was the Western that was like that?
The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, they just got
a remake of the Seven Samurai.
Yeah. Well, it was a remake of the Magnificent Seven from a couple of years ago, from what, 20 years ago, which was a remake of the Samurai one. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's good. I like it. And I signed up for Disney Plus. I pulled the trigger. And apparently if you're like me and you already have a Hulu account, when I signed up, it took that into account because it's the same email. So it gave me a discount.
Yeah, right. It's very nice.
Yeah. Like I'm paying $5 less than if I had gotten Disney Plus full.
Huh. Okay.
Anybody else wish there? Like, I've seen Mickey, because of Andy, we've now seen Mickey's Christmas Carol 17 times.
Oh.
A week ago, it was my favorite Disney movie of all time. Now I'm over it. Do you wish there was more stuff on there?
I haven't had a chance to really look through it yet. And what's really weird is on, I think it's on Netflix, there are a hell of a lot of Marvel movies all of a sudden.
Are there really?
Yeah.
That might be because they're going to pull them soon. They might have a contract where they can have them till a certain date. I don't know. Here's the thing. There's a lot of content, but there's very little original content right
now. That's what I meant. There's not like if, I pretty much think it's like the Jeff Goldblum Crazy Hour and Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum Crazy Hour. I haven't even watched. I'm afraid to watch that.
It's fun. You should. Yeah. No, I mean, once the Marvel shows hit, that'll be a whole different story. But yeah, it's like, because you feel like, am I spending this money just to watch The Mandalorian?
The answer would be yes right now. Unless you have kids, and then it's your babysitter. So it's cheaper than a babysitter, almost.
I did turn on Mickey's Christmas Carol while helping my wife do the dishes before the show started.
Yeah.
There is some accuracy to that statement.
Well, I kind of figured one of my nephews is 5 years old, and that's what he did when, you know, we needed some time to recover from you know, a tantrum or something. It's just, hey, you want to watch Disney Plus? Oh, yeah, sure.
They say you shouldn't do that, but sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a Saturday when I've got nothing to do and I'm bored, and I'll put on, like, a couple old Disney movies when I'm in a nostalgic feeling, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's like, because there's so much content, again, but it's Disney content, and it's like I don't care about any of the old Disney TV shows, you know?
Well, you may be forced to start watching the Marvel stuff on there, and that's something that we're going to talk about.
We will. I'm surprised they didn't have a show ready to go. Like, now that we're here, like, I'm kind of shocked that there wasn't a Marvel show. Like, here.
On launch, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, on launch date.
Well, this is probably kind of like at my work where it's like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's get going. And it's like the people who knew that like guys like us would be talking like this would be in the background saying, well, we need at least two or three, you know, a Marvel show and a new Disney movie or something like that. A couple of things to go with. And the Disney execs were like, get it out right now. We need the money.
I don't think they got the money. That's not the issue. The issue was keeping.
Exactly. And you know, it's like I said, you know, I'm sure there were people behind the scenes going, well, we should wait and open up the spigot once we have a couple of shows to keep people in for a couple of months while we make other shows. I mean, that's always the case with these releases.
I don't think anyone's arguing that Disney needs money.
Well, the execs were like, well, it's like that guy on Screen Rant in some of the, was it the pitch meetings? Like, yes, I like money. I like all money. I should have more money.
Yeah. So I should. I mean.
But, all right. So we should, like, get going because there is something we want to talk about this.
This isn't going?
Yeah, we've been going for a while now.
20 minutes.
Yeah, I know, but okay. I'm sorry. I read the email and I thought, you know.
Oh, he reads the email one time. And...
I'm looking at our schedule, and if I wanted to start talking about that now, I would then get yelled at because we haven't done something first.
Well, this is true.
See?
How about we talk a little than social media madness. Okay, hold on, real quick.
Ripping off a Band-Aid, let's get it done.
Okay, wait, real quick, I have a question. Another tangent. Quick vote, Die Hard. Christmas movie, yes or no?
Yes.
Movie that takes place during Christmas, not a Christmas movie.
Oh, you're one of those.
If it's a Christmas movie, then Gremlins is a Christmas movie. I don't draw hard lines in the sand. Like, if you want to call Die Hard a Christmas movie, that's fine. But then also call Gremlins a Christmas movie.
Okay,
so they're both Christmas movies.
I'm fine with that. I'm not going to hurt
them such.
I'm not going to fight.
I don't think it's not something that I fight about. It's just, you know, they kind of just work their way in somehow, you know?
Right. Exactly. See?
Yeah, so. But it's not like something to argue about. It's, you know, if somebody doesn't want to consider it that, fine. But it's just, I don't know, for now, socially speaking, it seems to be in the social conscience as Christmas movies. It's just a thing. I guess people thought it was cool to make it a Christmas movie. That's considered one for now by most people. And at some point, that will die out.
No, never.
Well, yeah, considering the last Die Hard movie, they're indestructible now, so they'll never die.
So you guys remember we talked about Falcon getting a new costume and Tron tried to make me feel bad about, you know, being excited about it?
Your opinion is bad and you should feel bad.
Well, none of your business on Twitter.
Hey!
So why are you telling me if it's none of my business?
Had said, wow, that sure is a departure from the original. Has Marvel become so prudish they are afraid to show exposed skin? But he still doesn't have a Falcon as a sidekick either. And
he hasn't looked quite like this Falcon in quite some time.
No. Yes, of course, they had a picture of the original introduction of the Falcon where he had the green costume and the big V open chest. Yeah. And of course, people seem to forget he does have Red Bird. It's just a drone instead of a bird that he has a psychic connection to. I think a drone's a little more believable
than the psychic bird.
Well, it is comics, so yes, no, it's still not. It's too much of a stretch.
I don't know. We do have like these fine lines. I mean, Scarlet Witch has some type of magic ability, and Thanos snapped. You know, where do we draw the line? It's kind of funny when we say psychic bird, bridge too far.
Yeah.
You
know?
Now bring on the girl with the psychic connection to squirrels, please.
Yeah, well then and the talking tree, you know.
Well, yeah, but that's explained because space.
Oh.
Well, that's true too. You know, aliens.
Exactly.
You want all aliens to be like us? Come on now.
I want aliens to be like us.
And then our good friend Tim Jones chimed in and said,
"Sour grapes."
It kind of reminds me of that guy that works for Lando Calrissian in Empire, but with wings and a cool visor.
I see it.
Yeah, that now I can see it. I will never unsee it. Thank you.
You guys are breaking my heart.
Now I can't unsee it now that I'm looking at it.
Now I have "Don't Go Breaking Your Heart" in my head. Thanks, Dave.
If I die and go to hell, it's going to be that on repeat the entire time.
Tonight is free association night on Superheroes Speak. Yeah.
And then Town App said, "Falcon's consistently been the least interesting character in any movie he's been in, so he can wear whatever. Put him on something bright. Maybe he'll be more noticeable."
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sassy.
Yeah. Screw you.
Do you agree with that statement, that he's been the least interesting character?
No.
I don't either.
No. No, he's the...
So who is, then?
Who's the least interesting character in all the Marvel movies?
Yeah. If it's not Falcon, and I don't think it is.
Hammer.
Who's Hammer?
From Iron Man 2.
Does he count? Sure. Okay, I'll go with that. Then as long as it's not Falcon.
Well, if you go with heroes, though, I mean, I don't know. War Machine has done a whole lot lately.
I think, you know what? I agree with you on this. I think the Falcon is more interesting than the War Machine.
Yeah. Yeah, who's the better best friend?
So, while we're in this conversation, they should do more with their characters of color.
Yeah, They've kind of been Falcon's going to be in one of the TV shows, so...
Yes, so they are, so good. That's
well,
good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're passing the Captain America mantle to Sam, true. And we're going to get a Blade movie, so...
True. Oh, I can't wait for that.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, we had the one of the biggest movies was Black Panther, but let's not get into that.
You know, you're right. You are
fair correct. Enough.
What do they got going on over at DC?
Nothing.
For characters of color.
Oh gods. If they were smart,
Jason Momoa is Pacific Islander, right?
If they were smart, they'd be making a Static Shock movie.
They should. That's a good point. Why don't they make a Static Shock movie?
Do you know how many cosplayers I've talked to about that? Every time I see a Static Shock guy, I have to take a picture of him because that is one of the most interesting, relevant, and exciting characters that they have. They even like showcased him in some of the old Bruce Timm stuff when Static went to the future and found out that he was going. He went to the future and was on a Batman Beyond episode and found out that he's going to be one of the most powerful heroes there is. And his backstory with, you know, and coming from the slums and all that, everything about him is interesting and usable. And I don't know why they don't use that character.
I agree with that. I'm shocked that the CW doesn't have a Static Shock show. I mean, you figure it'd be right with when they do. You know, young, cool.
No, they decided to go with Black Lightning.
Well, I mean, yeah. Black Lightning's okay, but it's still not. Static Shock is...
No, Static Shock would have made more sense. I agree.
I think we're all kind of on that page.
Yeah, and I know I didn't bring this article up for this week, so I'll mention it real quick. Did you see Michael B. Jordan apparently was approached by Warner Brothers to play Superman?
It did.
And I'm like, yeah, just give us a Static Shock movie. You don't have to do that. It's just
Michael B. Jordan's a little old to play Static Shock.
Yeah, they'd have to find another Tom Holland guy or something to do it.
Yeah, I didn't mean for him to play it. I just meant you don't need to make a black Superman. Just give us one of the black characters that already exists in the comics.
I wouldn't lose sleep if Michael B. Jordan became Superman because I think he's a good actor. But I do think it's just, not unrelated to the Michael B. Jordan thing, I think it's bothersome that DC, or the Warner, I should say, has no idea how to make Superman relevant in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It bothers me a lot.
Because, you know, they don't think people have hope in the 21st century.
A refugee character that could inspire hope amongst millions of Americans is...
Jeez, that has nothing to do with what's going
on
today.
Right, I mean, like, it's crazy to me. It's like you can't see the story. I think people focus too much on the Boy Scout and the Silver Age-y aspects of Superman and really miss what makes him work. which is a shame.
Right. Right. But, and that's the thing too, because I've always thought of him as the character who lifts other people up and inspires people to be better. And they've tried to turn him into dragging him down to our level. And it's
right. Like, it doesn't work. That Superman has to be the bright light. Yeah. In a world that, because you can make a Superman movie that's totally dark. He just can't be dark. He has to be the lighthouse.
It's like trying to make a Christmas movie making Santa Claus dark.
Has that been done?
I don't think so.
Some horror movies.
Yeah. And does it work? I don't think so.
Silent Night, Deadly Night's pretty cool.
They should, they should do All-Star Superman. That would work.
Yeah, that would work. And it would be, I love All-Star Superman because it's a different spin on the death of Superman thing. Like, it's really, that story of Superman coming to grips with mortality, like, that's a good story. That's a really good story.
Yeah, and it's and it's still uplifting, even though it's, you know, basically his last days.
Right, and it's all kinds of Silver Age-y.
Mm-hmm.
But it works, because Grant Morrison is a genius.
We've said this before.
Oh, I will say it again.
So, speaking of DC, and last time we got together, we talked about Gal Gadot and Ben Affleck jumping on the Snyder Cut bandwagon, and maybe... Boy,
that died quick.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to more into that later. But Random Randy Savage had said... Because I said, do you think it's going to happen? He said, nope. And that's fine. We need something that isn't mainstream. Let's let this be the bootleg version, a myth in mainstream clothing.
I don't quite know what that means altogether, but I like the general sense of it.
And then Mr. Geek Out said, I think we have a good chance as the theatrical cut of original trilogy. Oh, we have as good a chance as the theatrical cut of the original Star Wars trilogy getting released on Blu-ray.
He's got a point. Who knew that Disney was going to actually add stuff to Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. Did you watch it?
No, but I just saw the thing. I made a promise I'm not going to watch Star Wars until Andy's old enough.
So okay.
I can get it through fresh eyes. But I saw the thing floating around, the McClucky Greedo. They have Greedo saying Irish people's names for some reason before getting shot.
Oh, jeez.
Like,
I'm not trying to compete with The Irishman on Netflix.
That's good, dude.
Can't they just leave it alone? I mean, I'd like to see the original version, like the one from you know, 1978 when it came out. I want to see the original version that I saw when I was young, where Han shot first. There's no extra CGI stuff. You know, there's no Jabba the Hutt scene. I want to see the original version.
It's crazy. Has there been an old movie that's been re-edited as much as Star Wars has?
No, not even close.
Like, nobody goes back and puts, like, Prince in Casablanca.
Now, to...
They should.
To George Lucas's defense with the Jabba the Hutt scene in A New Hope is because I had the novelization of the movie, which was written at the same time the movie was being made. And that scene is in the book.
Yeah, but there's still no...
And I remember for years...
It wasn't in the movie.
Hold on, listen. And I remember for years, like, why is Jabba the Hutt in the book but not in the movie? And then when I saw a behind-the-scenes thing, they didn't have time to come up with what Jabba looked like. So it's just this... It's just a human, like this big, heavyset guy.
Yeah, and the deleted scenes in one of the older versions.
Right, but the problem is that goes over... Basically, he's saying... He's going over information we've already received from earlier scenes. So it literally doesn't make any sense for it to be in there.
I think the point is it's trying to set up how badly Jabba wants to capture him. Like, it's trying to establish that.
Yeah, but that's a major subplot of Empire Strikes Back that's unnecessary by that. So I get the scene is... It has a function, don't get me wrong. I'm with John. I don't think it's, especially in retrospect, super necessary.
Yeah. Because literally, the scene before that, you've already gotten all the information that they go over in that scene. So, you know, you kind of sit there going, okay, well, this is interesting, but not necessary at all. And can we just get to the next, you know, the next movement of the movie?
Which starts in the very next scene. So.
Right.
But it's a scene that I think Lucas always wanted in there. That's why he did it.
100%. Absolutely.
So, that's because that, and they had filmed it, but they didn't have the CGI at the time. Right. So, anyway, Snyder Cut. Not going to happen.
I'd much rather talk about Star Wars in the Snyder Cut.
I know.
And George Mitchell said...
The Sports Machine?
They said they should release the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie first.
It's on YouTube. Anyone can watch that.
Yeah.
And most of that was actually done.
Oh, it was done. They just that is an Ashcan film. They made that movie to hold on to rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's have you ever watched it?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
It is bad.
Oh, it's not that, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's bad. And it's poorly made, but it's fun.
And it's still a better characterization of the Fantastic Four and their personalities than any of the movies have been.
I'll second that.
Until Marvel gets hold of it.
Doctor Doom sucks, but all film versions of Doctor Doom have sucked.
Yeah.
But I do think they saved all the special effects budget for the final scene with Johnny Storm finally
flaming on.
Yeah. Yes.
Being on fire costs money.
Yes.
Too bad they couldn't pay for a fire extinguisher at that point.
Hey man. Budget cuts had to be made. The Underwood wasn't that important.
They just needed a fire. They needed to go out.
Dave is struggling to keep us on task tonight. It's a slow week.
So back to Star Wars. Yeah. We talked about Jon Favreau wanting to do the holiday special again.
See, he can't because there's no way you could do it worse than it was.
If that's the challenge, no, you could not.
And we actually, so here's,
before you even start this rant, look at this gif. This gif that you used is Chewie's kid staring at, I don't even know. If that doesn't just sum up this movie. It's a furry. That's what it looks like. One of those things you were talking about earlier, John. It's got a cat tail and everything.
Neko, yes.
Yeah, that guy. This, if this doesn't sum up that piece of shit, I don't know what does.
Hey, I still like to be Arthur in that.
The Arthur is a national treasure. Never will we speak ill of her. But that movie stinks. Or that special so bad.
The only reason anybody should watch it at all is because of Be Arthur.
And the Boba Fett cartoon. Now, sorry to derail your rant, Dave. I'm looking at this gif and I'm like, oh my lord. Continue.
I know that we got more responses on this, but the problem is when I go back.
It's horrifying, I'm sorry. Look at the eyes. Sorry.
It's unbelievable.
That's a nightmare.
When I went back to look at our old notifications to find the responses to some of the tweets, the issue is it's number one, it's, you know, we took last week off, and so there's 2 weeks of tweets to go through. But also, there are certain people who will remain nameless. But there's quite a few of them that when they're trying to promote their stuff, they tag us. And
okay,
it gets to the point where, because then they show up in all the notifications every time someone does that. And there's certain people who do 3 and 4 tweets at a time tagging us to try to get more eyes on their tweets. I don't even know if that actually works on Twitter, but it's frustrating. And I would ask people to please cool it doing that. I don't want to block anyone who's trying to promote stuff. If you want us to promote something, then send us a message and ask us to do it. But
pay the piper.
But stop tagging us on everything that you send out, because it's getting frustrating. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
We don't need to be, you know,
what?
Tagged on male enhancement commercials. Thank you.
Did we?
I'm just saying.
Blue Chew pays a lot of cat podcasts. Let's get some of that penis money. We're all for that.
We want your penis money. Oh,
I will totally talk about non-erect penises if it gets money into this podcast.
So, parents, if your kids are listening to this podcast with you,
no kids are listening.
We should retroactively tell you to cover your kids' ears.
Okay. So 8-Bit Ray had said Disney Star Wars has a tendency to repeat what's already been successful. So expect another acid trip holiday special beat for beat.
It was
successful in that it is one of the most talked about things on the net.
Aired once and then destroyed basically. I want to call it successful.
Is it more successful than the Ewok specials that were done in the 80s? Because no one ever talks about those. And those are just regular bad.
Yeah.
This is extremely bad.
But and if you look at YouTube, I run in the circles with the YouTube reviewers, like most of the reviewers have done the the Christmas special because it's so funny to review and so weird. And, you know, I mean, it, people talk about it like they talk about The Room.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know, the Room, just look it up.
Just look it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Check me apart.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark. Sorry.
And then Wicked Scott said, I would do CGI Art Carney and B. Arthur.
You know, we can do that now.
We could. Yeah. We could bring them back for this.
Should we?
No. That would be a big no.
They could do a cantina scene and just have B. Arthur behind the bar.
They could. But I feel like,
you know, no talking or anything.
I feel like you need to have the rest of the Golden Girls if you're going to do that, though.
Remember, that was pre-Golden Girls.
Oh, I know. But she just works better in that setting. And I miss the Golden Girls.
Everybody.
Is the only one that's still alive?
Betty White? She is the sole survivor.
She's also a national treasure. And possibly a Terminator, but we're not sure yet.
I'll go for that.
All right. Well, that's all the nonsense we have for this week.
Oh, we have lots more nonsense.
Oh, well, for social media madness.
Oh, fair enough.
So, if you would like to get in on the fun, just make sure you're following us on Twitter at Superhero Speak or on Facebook, facebook.com/SuperheroSpeak, or on Instagram at Superhero Speak. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Anywhere podcasts are available, you will find us. That's iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, name it, and we're there, I'm sure. If there's somewhere where we're not and you think we should be there, let us know.
Spice Channel?
Yes, I think we should be there. Check it.
Okay.
And some other great podcasts you should be following are the Geek World All-Stars. Look for hashtag GW All-Stars on Twitter. And of course, that is Pop Prison Power Podcast, Geek World. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Pop Prison Power Podcast, So Wizard, Fans on Patrol, Us, Superhero Speak, and the Gorilla Brain Podcast, which 8-Bit Ray is the host of. So if you guys aren't, check those guys out as well. Follow their shows and give them a shout out. Tell them Superhero Speak sent you. So on that note, I think we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Messages. We'll be right back. Did you have to clear your throat right then?
No. I did it on purpose.
You, and we're back. All right. I think we're going to go talk about some news. So, the first thing up this week. John Boyega is in a lot of trouble, guys. Apparently, his copy of the Rise of Skywalker script ended up on eBay.
He will be CGI'd in the next movies.
Remember that thing I said about mouse assassins a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
It's going to be a thing. It's going to be a thing.
So apparently he was moving, and the script got lost in the move. And ended up on eBay, and apparently J.J. Abrams is very upset with him. So, number one, like, why is that not, you know, on you at all times in a move? And two, you know, who's he hiring to move him that can't be trusted, you know?
Well, did you read the story? It sounded like he was doing it, and then, like, he was rehearsing, and then him and the boys came over and had a few, and he just kind of forgot.
Yeah.
People are human.
That's a I don't want to say what really happened story. So I'm going to say I just forgot cuz
oh, that's clearly. He made mistakes were made.
So what does this mean too for him ever being on a project like this again?
That's no big deal. I don't think they're going to He made a mistake. And it's not like they can fire him. They're done.
No, I'm not just talking about him in general. Like what if he wanted to be in a Marvel movie and you know how they get so top secret about those, like, you know, would they hire him? And if they do hire him, are they going to, like, have someone watching him 24/7?
It'd be like Tom Holland rule. You only get sides.
Yeah. He doesn't get the script. He only gets his lines on the day.
Yeah, you give him the sides. That's all he needs. Sorry, John, you've proven yourself untrustworthy. You are out of the circle of trust. Say these lines.
John, you're out of the circle of trust. Oh, wait, wrong John.
I was never in that circle of trust. He bit me too much.
Oh, and speaking of Star Wars, before we move on to the next thing, so I have a theory. We were talking about Mandalorian. We were talking about quote-unquote Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And I came to a realization. He's 50 years old. They state that in the first episode. That means he was born before Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
So, was he born because Anakin was born? As in, quote-unquote, everything is in balance? Was he the light side baby and Anakin the dark side baby?
Sure.
I guess light side babies preserve better.
Well, his race ages very slowly.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem pretty fair, because now you've got a good guy who's going to last 900 years and a bad guy who, like, loses if he doesn't have the high ground, apparently.
Well, isn't Ahsoka still out there, too?
Somewhere.
Right.
Well, I guess Ahsoka's still canon, so yeah, somewhere.
I don't know. My son and I were wondering, and is this character going to show up in The Last Jedi?
I doubt it.
As a fully realized Jedi. You doubt it? Okay.
I doubt it. How old would they be at this point? Probably 12? Like in Yoda years?
You know, yeah, that's right, about 12. So he'd still be a youngling.
Yeah. Unless what's-his-nuts slaughtered all the younglings. Again.
Oh, God. What's-his-nuts?
I couldn't think of his name.
All the younglings must die.
Grandpa did it. I gotta do it too. Get over here, little shit.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
Lucas was so bloodthirsty.
I don't know. There's a rumor that a mysterious character shows up.
It's entirely possible.
It could be.
I thought the mysterious character showing up was the Emperor.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, if Reddit is to be believed, there's a Jedi user who shows up, like, in the third act.
A Force user.
Force yes. user.
Mm,
sorry. Maybe Jedi user is a whole other thing.
If it was Ahsoka, there'd be no way they'd keep a lid on that. So
it could. We didn't even know the Emperor was in it until they told us. Had they not told us the Emperor was in this movie, we'd have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious what our audience thinks of this too. So if you guys are listening, do you think they'll use this character somewhere else, or is he just going to be on this show? No. All right.
So let's get to the outrage.
You mean the Snyder cut?
No. What's after that? Snyder is kind of meh now. So.
Well. Yeah, so we hinted at it when we were talking about Social Media Madness. Of course, Danny Elfman, who was the composer on the Justice League movie, basically came out and said there is no such thing as the Snyder Cut. Apparently, Jason Momoa had come and said he saw the Snyder Cut, which is one of the things that fueled all of this online stuff about, oh, release the Snyder Cut. And Danny Elfman's like, yeah, no. Like, he left before he finished. They named for Cut together a movie for him. So
hey, it's not like Superman where they had like everything already filmed and then they got rid of some of it so the other director could put his name on the film.
They didn't even have all of that film, because remember they stopped making Superman 2 halfway because they ran out of money. So even that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But like, people don't understand, like, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Like, you have to understand how to watch a rough cut. A rough cut is something that's not finished. Like, it's not even close to finished. So, I mean, like, they have to spend millions of dollars to finish this thing. And people just think that there's the nerds think that there's a complete DVD that's just sitting there.
Right. No, and that's the whole thing. But it also makes me wonder, too, because as the composer, he would be sent even a rough cut to start working on music for it. So, if he never even got a Snyder rough cut, does even that, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm sure you could probably piece together a real rough cut of uncompleted scenes with special effects that aren't done. People will say, "Well, what about the trailer?" I'm like, "Yeah," and I'll say, "Yes, those scenes were finished for the trailer." You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this whole like Snyder thing has taken on a life of its own, and it's a nothing. It's nothing. There's not a Snyder cut.
Huh, kind of like Snyder himself. Never mind.
It's kind of like character development in the Stan movie.
Yeah, yeah.
non-existent.
And continuity and basically everything is it.
I get so happy every time you pronounce it properly.
I'm working on it, okay?
I appreciate it. No, I'm being bottom of my heart, man. I love when you say it right. It warms me.
You have fucking well. So is this what you're going to be saying the outrage is coming from? Of course, we all know our new Batman is Robert Pattinson.
Okay, Robert Pattinson can die in a fire. The end. He doesn't think Batman is a superhero and doesn't want fans to Bob. Come on, you're playing right, Batman.
Right, let's one outrage at a time.
No, but I like the outrage.
First thing it's that he did easy. Is he said. First thing is he said he doesn't think Batman is a superhero because he doesn't have any quote unquote magical powers. So that's actually something that has been debated in comics for a long time. Is he a superhero because he doesn't have powers, or is he just a hero?
Oh, come on. The prep time beats everything, including gods. That's not a magical power.
Well, again, because you can make an argument about Iron Man. He's a guy in a suit.
But the suit has powers. The suit flies. The suit, like, fires blasters. So I'm going to be real on this. I agree with him. I think he's 100% correct in all of this. What? Batman's not. He's a vigilante.
Get him, John. I think John hung up.
Oh. Batman has like an IQ of like 3,000. Basically, he doesn't know 30 different martial arts. So, he's mastered every single one of them. This is something that no human being has ever been graced with. Is like a perfect memory, perfect deductive capabilities, okay. A perfect mind, perfect body. There's no way.
The whole point of Batman is he's not a superhero. He was designed to be a character with no powers.
Right.
He's an old school mystery man. He's a vigilante. And he's really not much of it. He's not a great hero either, to be honest with you. Like, as far as just being heroic goes.
Oh, no. He's got so many neuroses that not enough time.
He tries to beat crime with crime while taking children into battle. Like, Batman's got problems.
Yeah.
But that's what makes him an interesting character. Like, but no, he's not a...
So beyond having to be on certain lists that make you stay away from schools, I still think it counts.
Here's the question. It depends on your view on the term superhero. So, like, as we've pointed out on this show, we are superhero speak three separate words because superhero as one word is copyrighted. Originally copyrighted by DC Comics, in fact. So if you take super to mean the character has powers that makes them super, quote unquote super, then yes, Batman is not a superhero. And I understand your argument about him not being much of a hero. However, if you take superhero one word as a characterization of people doing heroic things in a comic book, well, then yes, he is a superhero.
Ha! So I feel better, and why do I not feel actually better?
But then so is the Punisher.
Exactly.
But the Punisher is not a hero.
In that definition.
Punisher depends on your view.
So is Batman in a lot of ways.
He doesn't kill anybody. He may break their bones, put them in the hospital, give them for the rest of their lives, but, you know.
He maims them to sort of the breaking
point. Allowances have to be made.
Like,
so is Deadpool.
Yeah. So are the guys from The Boys. You know, that's just like, I don't like that terminology for it. Like, I mean, believe me, I'm not Merriam-Webster over here, but like, just the way I view a superhero would be Superman.
This is a slippery slope, though, because basically giving you, if you have powers, you're allowed to do everything Batman does just because you can fly or shoot a laser out of your mouth or whatever. If you did everything that Batman does, like catching criminals and just dropping off in front of a police department without any corroborating evidence or, you know, due process, that's okay because you're a superhero because you can, you know, shine light out your ass.
Well, but then
what?
But Superman does that. You can make the same argument.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So what's the definition of a superhero if it's just you can't use powers? You need powers or something. I mean, you know.
See, I always look at a superhero, like the hero part isn't necessarily the catching of the criminals, it's the protecting of the people. And I think that's why the term is coined with Superman. As Superman was protecting people while using superpowers. Like in that first Action Comics 1, he's going after crooked landlords, wife beaters. Like he's literally saving people who can't save themselves. Less so than crime fighter. I think that's a difference. He's not really fighting crime so much as he's just fighting bad guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And using his advanced powers to do so. Whereas Batman just beats dudes up while wearing a skin-tight black leather outfit.
With a mask.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just like I said, I'm not going to get on Robert Pattinson about this. I think he's got a point. Batman's neuroses is what makes him interesting. Like I had a debate about this with a reporter by the name of Jonathan Snowden on Twitter this week because he hates Batman and gave him some good in storyline reason why he like dislikes Batman. I understand where he's coming from. But I'm like, you know, but that's, and I said, that's the part about Batman that I like is that, you know, his solution for fighting crime is to beat it up. Like he's a creature born of violence. So all he knows is violence. And the futility of Batman is where he's interesting.
Well, they do say that if Batman used his billions for social projects, he could do more good than Batman ever could.
That's true. And I think I actually think that's an interesting part of the character. And I think there's a part of Bruce Wayne that knows that, but his damaged mind will not allow it because like all he knows is violence. I think that's what makes the character actually interesting.
Right.
You can't tell me he's a better hero than Superman based on anything I just said.
No, I don't think you can. Yeah. So, all right. So you've heard our arguments, boys and girls. What do you think? Is Batman a superhero? Yes or no? Let us know, on Twitter or on the comments, wherever you're listening to this, because, we need to know. This must be settled.
Make a compelling case. I'd like to hear I would like to hear someone telling me I'm wrong and make a compelling case as to why that is.
Right.
In other words, dance for us, internet. Dance.
Why not?
I can't wait to see the flame war.
And then the other thing he said, so of course he was in the Twilight movies and there was a rabid fandom of females who liked those movies.
Yeah, the poor guy.
So now he's saying he doesn't want a repeat of that while playing Batman. He doesn't want to have to deal with crazy fans.
Sorry, don't play Batman then.
I say to that, why did you pick to be in a comic book movie? I won't say superhero movie.
Boats are nice.
If you haven't been paying attention so far.
Yeah,
what?
True.
Boats are nice.
Yep.
Who doesn't want to own a boat? That's why.
Maybe he just likes to wear tight black leather suits.
Could be. I'm just saying the paycheck. Like, he's in it for the paycheck, he should be. Everyone should be in it for the paycheck. I don't know. It's like some Jim Morrison level. I don't want to be a rock star, so I'm going to keep releasing rock albums kind of thing.
Yeah. It seems like an anti-intuitive statement. Like, okay, if you don't want to deal with that, then just do small independent movies and be an actor. But if you want to do a big blockbuster, you're going to be asked to go to Comic-Cons. You're going to be asked to interact with... You know, I mean, people like us, let's be honest, fans.
You're going to be in a panel where they're going to line up and you're going to get asked questions like, who would win, Batman or Superman?
To be fair, this also might be stuff that he's just started to realize right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, man, now it's real. You know, like it might be just settling in how much his life is going to really change with this.
Yeah. Right.
But a little late in the game now.
Yeah, exactly. If this movie ever gets made.
It seems like we're getting further enough along, you know?
Yeah, hopefully. And then we'll have something more to complain about. I mean...
I don't think we're a whiny podcast, though. Like, we just...
Yeah. You know,
we don't bitch a lot about stuff. We'll talk about things.
Yeah, no, that's... bitching. No. If you want to listen to a bitching podcast, listen to a Gorilla Brain podcast.
Ooh.
Anyway,
shots fuck. Ooh. I mean, I mean, either that or mention Zimmer to me, and I'll treat you to an hour.
It's true. But... Ray knows we love him. But yeah. All right. So, boys and girls, on that note, we're going to bring you an interview now. Another one that we got at New York Comic Con. This was in the press room for Batman Beyond, and it is Lauren Tom. Those who are unfamiliar with her, she played Dana Tan on Batman Beyond. She was also on Friends for at least one season. I want to say two, as Ross's girlfriend in the early seasons. And so she talked with us about her time on Batman and Beyond and what it's like being a Asian American female actress in the world today. And she had a lot of cool and interesting things to say.
She's Amy Wan from Futurama. Come on, man.
Oh.
And that right. Too.
Oh, I think Friends is bigger than Futurama, though.
Whoa. Dude.
More people watched Friends than Futurama.
Doesn't make them right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Lauren, you tell us which one is better. So without further ado, here's Lauren Tom.
How you doing?
Yeah, I gotta go.
Well, you had the experience of being on the Batman the Animated Series and doing this too. So what's that feel like to be that much part of Batman's animated history?
Oh, I feel grateful for it all because I grew up watching, I don't know, I'm dating myself, but I grew up watching Adam West and in Batman and loved it and just never thought that, you know, they would write in that his girlfriend would be Asian. That was such a wonderful surprise and exciting and just as social media grew for me to realize what a gigantic fandom, because I mean, I knew that it was a big deal, Batman, but I had no idea that people were so into it after all these decades and everything. So it's been a blessing. I'm so glad that they asked me to come, you know, because Alan just said I was in about a third of the episodes and I didn't, you know, it's so hard to remember, you know, that long ago.
You brought up the idea of, you said you liked the idea that they were casting an Asian person for Dana. That was one of my questions that, you know, now... Minority casting is like an everyday topic, and people are like, you know, why don't you? You might as well. The character should or shouldn't be this, or let's be real about this time. You know, it's in the future and just a city. You know, it's not everyone's going to be one type of person at anything. So it's cool but that's 20 years ago. Speaking of the 20th, like, that was a big deal, more of a big deal back then. So talk about how that felt. Just, I guess, expand on what you said before, especially for that time.
Yeah, it was very exciting because, you know, that was just about the same time that I was on Friends also. Yeah. And she was the only person of color before Aisha Taylor came on. And so I was like, okay, things are happening. Yeah. Things are shaking up and this is going to be great. And then it did take another 25 years for Crazy Rich Asians to come out. But having said that, it's all good. And it's just a movement that'll keep going in that direction. And people are talking about it a lot more now, but it's still kind of like, you know, we still have to be vocal about trying to stake out our place in some of these, you know, projects and things.
It's also fascinating that when done right, and I think Crazy Rich Asians is an example, the focus isn't the fact that everyone's Asian. You just ignore that, and they're just people.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's people and the relationships, and, you know, you certainly see a cross-section of the types of people.
Yes.
And it's as anyone else in the world. And,
right.
And I think that the, you know...
Or the rich people, anyway.
But, I mean, I think it shows that the humanity is shared by everybody.
Yes, yes,
the
exactly.
The human experience.
Right, right.
In doing animation, especially with Batman Beyond, was that a difficult thing to make sure that the character was... She was drawn Asian, but were there certain things you wanted to bring to it that maybe...
Actually, maybe the opposite, in the sense that I wanted it to be, like, more American. And just, she happens to be Asian, because I'm American. Like, my parents were born here, too. And so I love the fact that they weren't making any deal of it at all. She just happens to be Asian, And, you know, I grew up in this northern suburb of Chicago, Highland Park, where, you know, like everyone was Jewish. And
right.
I just kind of thought that I was a white Jewish girl until I was, you know, 8 years old. I had no idea I was any different, you know. But so I liked that. And then, you know, and then Joy Luck Club and some of the other projects are also important to show culture. And it's not like I didn't grow up with any culture, but it's really great to show both sides because there's millions of people who, for example, speak with an Asian accent. And I never was the kind of actor that's like, I will never do a character that speak, because my grandma spoke that way. And I wanted to kind of honor her if I could bring it like as authentic as possible.
Caricature.
And not a caricature. I mean, sometimes with the writing, you know, I had to work with the writers a little bit to say, you know, you really can't say that I just ate my dog. You know, you can't do that. That's not going to go over well. But, you know.
You're a strong woman.
But, yeah, so yeah, I think, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. I'm still on. I'm on, like, L.A. time still.
I have two nieces that are half Asian, so it means a lot to me personally.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, I was on a show called Andy Mac for the last 3 years. It was on Disney. I don't know if they could...
They probably saw
it. They might have seen it, but because I was proud of it because it had so much diversity in it. And there were gigantic opportunities for kids to find themselves, to be able to identify. Because we had, you know, like the first gay character come out on a Disney show, and then, you know, there was a deaf girl, there was a black girl, but, you know, there was three generations that starred three Asian women, so all of these new, you know, it was just great, because I feel like at the end of the day, like, you know, the goal is to just, for us as humans, to not feel so alone. And when I was growing up, I had nobody that I could relate to that I saw reflected back to me on screen, and so I just felt particularly proud of this last show because of that, because I feel like it's fixing that problem going forward.
What was it like working for doing readings with the actors and stories?
Oh, from Batman Beyond. Well, the beautiful part of recording this, because not every show is like this, but we recorded it like a radio play. So we did it live. We could work off of each other. And you can't really replace that, because a lot of other shows will just bring you in one at a time. And then the voice director, like Andrea's amazing. But you can't really recreate what happens between two people. So, yeah, no, it's been really great. And I know that Mark Hamill wasn't in, you know, the series. But when we did the movie, that was really exciting for him to come in. He has, like, just endless, hilarious, amazing stories. And I remember that my brother was a big Star Trek fan, so I get them all confused. I get Star Wars and Star Trek confused, and I get DC and Marvel confused. Anyway, I brought in the huge, what do you call it, the starship?
Millennium Falcon.
I brought it in for him to sign, and it was like gigantic. It took up my whole trunk. That's how much I love my brother.
So you mentioned Joy Luck Club, Friends, Batman Beyond, Futurama. That is a wide range. Like, I think that just looking at your IMDb, your range speaks for itself.
Oh,
and range is such a...
You're sweet.
Thank you. I mean, it just, again, it speaks for itself. And range is such a quality of acting that... You know, any actor should expect to talk about that. And, you know, also a compliment, as you notice.
Well, I just think that, you know, as we live our lives, I mean, you know, we all have such interesting stories to tell. And just using the experience of what happened to you. So I'm glad that I became a mom. I'm glad that, you know, I mean, I'm not glad that bad things have happened to me, but I've been through certain experiences that I would never be able to tap into if that hadn't happened. And so I think I love that saying about, like, that it doesn't matter what happens to you. What matters is what you do with what happens. Mm-hmm. So as an actor, I feel like it's only helped me that, you know, I can relate to lots of different types of characters and situations.
Andrea Romano's reputation has preceded her.
Yes.
And you and Will have both spoken very highly of her today. What makes that a unique experience, having someone like her as your voice director.
Yeah, it just makes my job so easy when someone is sharp as Andrea is leading, because all you have to do is just kind of open your mouth and it comes out. Like, you probably noticed she talks really quickly. So our sessions were much faster than any other show I've ever worked on, because she just gets the job done. And it's like laser focus. It's not that it's not fun, but it's sort of like you have to be very awake and just with her, right with her. Otherwise, you're going to feel like you're slowing the whole thing down. It's like, come on, let's get with the program. But I loved that, because I was like carrying my babies when right after I'd given birth, and she would get me in and out. And go, this is exactly what to do. And, you know, like she would lead me into it, because sometimes you couldn't make the group record. And it was a little scary, because you're right, her reputation did, you know, precede her. I mean, I can't imagine what it'd be for Will to have your first job as that, because I think I was already on King of the Hill before that for a couple of years. So it's not like I was complete newbie, but I could tell that I was working with a very highly trained professional when I walked into her booth.
How was that experience different than, say, Futurama in terms of recording?
So, yeah, Futurama's like, oh, man, it's like the clout working, like, we were like the class, John and all those guys are class clowns, all those class clowns in one room. It took forever to shoot, to record, but we were having fun. We were laughing all day long. And sometimes they would use some of those outtakes and stuff, but it wasn't diametrically opposed. Yeah. But it was a different show. Like, this is like Substance Darker, a little bit more serious.
Have your children watched it yet at all?
Batman Beyond?
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good question. They've watched all of my current things, so like Disenchantment and Troll Hunters and all of those things. But I don't know if, you know what? I'm going to give it to them when the DVDs come out.
Merry Christmas.
Have at it. No, I think they'll like it.
It's a really cool character on called Dana's Hand.
Thank you.
Great actor. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I was just wondering, as a mother, does that influence the kind of roles you pick?
You know what? I guess it does, because I didn't think I would do a Disney series. But because I had kids, and my younger one was the exact age what their demographic was going for.
Okay.
And because it dealt with so many issues, it dealt with, like, anxiety, depression, when your parents divorce, coming out, figuring out your sexuality, all these like really deep topics for a Disney show. I was like, what the heck? So I read the scripts and I was like, you know what? I need to do this. And the fact that they didn't make me audition, that's also always because I really hate auditioning more than anything. Even after all these years, it just never gets any easier.
Why did you not think you'd ever work for Disney?
Well,
if you don't mind my asking.
Because it's sort of like, you know, I didn't want to be thought of as an actor that just does kids shows. You know, just because of the body of work that I had prior. Like, and then working like with Billy Bob Thornton now on Goliath was a great juxtaposition to that, because that's super, super dark. And then Disney couldn't be any like more Mickey Mouse. You know, so it was a nice...
No publicity is bad publicity unless it's dark.
Are we okay? Or... Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think he's. Okay. I don't know if we're.
He's just practicing.
We're good?
We're good. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take her away from you.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you so much, you guys.
All right. That was another fine interview from New York Comic Con. We're getting near the end of them, John.
Yeah, we should hit the end of them by Great Valley Comic Con. The Great Philly Comic Con. Yeah. I mean, that's how it goes.
Yeah. All right. So, before we sign off this week, you guys have any recommendations for our audience?
The Toys That Made Us Season 3, featuring friend of the show, Aubrey Sitterson.
Uh-huh.
In the pro wrestling episode.
So, isn't it interesting how he is the first person ever to win Nerd Madness, and then now he's going to hit TV show on Netflix?
To be fair, they recorded that before, but that's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
You're ruining my thunder.
You're ruining his continuity.
Damn it.
Aubrey, you're welcome. So, and yeah, I was watching it with my wife, and like he came up. I'm like, oh my god, it's Aubrey, and she's like, what? I know him. So yeah, that was cool.
It's fun. The turtles episode alone is a great little documentary on the history of the Ninja Turtles. It was fun. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, you have to do the crossover with the Power Rangers though when they were on there to understand how crazy it got.
They talk about it.
Yeah, awesome. I have that bookmarked. I'm gonna watch it soon.
All right. How about you, John? Any recommendations?
Yeah, Mandalorian is good, and I don't know.
The mandolin is not.
The mandolin, no. I mean, it's if you like art films, mandolin is good. And I actually for anime, let's see. For anime, I would suggest the Ascendance of a Bookworm because what? It is yes, I know. JD loves these titles. Ascendance of a Bookworm is an anime that's out this season.
That makes no sense.
It has turned out to be one of the best. It's an isekai, but it's turned out to be one of the best animes I've seen. It's not a fighting anime. There's no shonen, no nothing like that. But it's a really, really good show. I'd say check that out if you're into anime. And otherwise, I don't know. The only other thing I'm looking at right now is Woo Assassins on Netflix because I got bored, and that seems to be okay.
Shouldn't you be writing a book?
I am trying to write a book. It's hard to do that with three freaking nephews hanging off your arm and constantly asking you, like, you know, can we play D&D? Can we go to, you know, the arcade? Can we do this? Can we do that?
Gosh, John, what's that like? I don't know.
You have a wife to run interference.
You think so. She's the breadwinner, so.
So, yeah, okay, that's it, fine. I also feel very guilty now. And I actually have to talk to my editor. She just sent me an email, and I have to read that.
I am going to piggyback off of JD's Toys That Made Us with a new series that launched this week from the creators of the Toys That Made Us, The Movies That Made Us.
Yeah, I saw two of these as well. That's a good show.
There are four episodes up so far. Dirty Dancing, Ghostbusters.
I watched that one.
And two of the best Christmas movies ever made. Home Alone and Die Hard.
I watched that one.
Yeah, it's interesting the stories behind like how some of these movies almost didn't even get made and they end up being the biggest movies ever. Yeah,
the Ghostbusters one is particularly great. I love that.
Oh my god, Dan Aykroyd is fascinating.
So did you know that all three Die Hards are based on novels that have nothing to do with one another?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that. I knew the first one. Hmm. Which was interesting.
Technically, a sequel,
right? Yeah. The movie when they wanted to make a movie, they went and found scripts that hadn't gone anywhere.
Not even scripts; they found books. Because the first one, like if you see the first one, it's really awesome. Like Sinatra played this character in a book. I can't call it The Detective, and he wanted to do another one. So the guy wrote the book, but 10 years later, and they just sat in developmental hell because you know Blue Eyes got too old, and then they just got greenlit. And the whole thing about Bruce Willis is awesome. And they did that again two more times. Like, it's fascinating. And they went away from that formula, and the Die Hard movies started getting really, really bad.
Yeah.
You could say that again.
The Die Hard movies got really, really bad.
But and I will also say, if you are not caught up on the current CW shows and you are planning to watch The Crisis, you might want to try to get caught up this week because we're quickly approaching and there has been way more setup than I ever thought there was going to be for this so far in Flash. And I haven't even watched Green Arrow. My son said there's even more in Green Arrow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of setup and now there's some setup in Supergirl in the last episode this Sunday and Crisis starts next Sunday.
Yep. So, people, get on that, because John and I will at least be talking about it.
And it's nice to see DC do good in something.
Yes, finally. You won't get the Snyder Cut, but you'll get Crisis on Infinite Earths on TV.
Yep.
So,
which, let's be real, that's what you really want. You don't want the Snyder Cut. You think you do, but you don't.
But you don't, yeah. Because you're only going to be disappointed.
Right. We're saving him.
Yes. And on that note, like the superheroes we are, as always, thanks for listening, and don't let your cape caught in the door. Have a good week.
We managed to get an hour out of absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Well, there was a lot of tangents.